Hi, nice to see you again. So today I want to talk about trimethamine, that ingredient that's in the monkeypox vaccine that shouldn't be there. It's not supposed to be used in an intramuscular injection. And I think the reason, well, the FDA approved it because I think of regulatory capture. But I think the reason they kind of let it go is that unbeknownst to most of us that have been trying to figure out what they did during COVID, the COVID vaccines, the Moderna and the Pfizer, both had trimethamine in them. But Pfizer didn't announce it, so I didn't notice that there was this this common connection in this ingredient, and I didn't bother to take a closer look at it with Moderna, which in hindsight turns out to be a big mistake. Do you remember the Danish study where we thought there were some placebos afoot because of the batch damage variability between doses? That was last August. On the same day, I actually did another one on this Swiss study that found myocardial lesions in 1 in 27 of the Swiss women in the study. It was a gold study. It was in the Swiss healthcare system. And they followed up on the elevated troponin markers in these women and a lot of the men that were in the study because they weren't much better off. And they ascertained that the damage was real and that there was nothing off or false about the troponin markers, but they were primarily, I think almost exclusively, Moderna shots, which advertised they had trimethamine in them. This kind of links all of that together. It makes it make more sense. On the same day, I actually did another one to impress upon people the very real implications of having myocardial damage, incidental myocardial damage. There's no such thing as mild myocarditis. And there was an autopsy study that kind of supported that with the recorded myocardial damage. There was one necropsy as well, which is an animal biopsy or autopsy. And we have that in common with dogs apparently, but the myocardial lesions that were discovered on a lot of these corpses and the cardiac effects, it's no mystery if you understand trimethamine or TRIS or TAM, as Pfizer calls it. Pfizer has tried to get corner of the market on trimethamine. They call it TAM. It's also called Tometrol. I think that's what they called it in the Canadian version of the monkeypox shots. But intramuscular injection of this stuff is not an option. So I'm going to show you why, and I'll show you what some of the damages and adverse effects are. I may have to take an uncustomary break to reorient myself with everything halfway through this one because it's going to be a lot longer than usual, but I have a lot of data to show you and a lot of information to share. Yeah, there's the ambulance right on schedule. So TRIS, TAM, Tometrol, or trimethamine is prepared industrially by exhaustive condensation of nitromethane and formaldehyde. Oh, that sounds okay. Pickle your frog and then put it in a tin can with nitromethane and send it to the moon under basic conditions to produce the intermediate blah blah blah, which is subsequently hydrogenated to give the final product. The useful buffer range for TRIS, pH 7 to 9, coincides with the physiological pH typical of most living organisms. This and its low cost makes TRIS one of the most common buffers in the biology biochemistry laboratory. And I think the proprietary struggle that's going on in the courts between Pfizer and Moderna has to do with Moderna's cooking up this stuff in the basement somewhere and not paying Pfizer. I think that's what it's about. But of course, it's not in public view. The courts blocked out us observing it. So trimethamine is used to increase permeability of cell membranes, like meat tenderizer. It is a component of Moderna COVID-19 vaccine and Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine for use in children 5 through 11 years of age. And it's not just in the 5 to 11. I mean, that is egregious. But here's Pfizer's disclosure of its ingredients now. They didn't have this in the original formulation, allegedly, but it was in most of their shots, I think, because it is the heartbreaker. But they say that they have, between their Comirnaty and their original Pfizer BioNTech, they have four formulations. Three of them have trimethamine in them. Trust me, in the Danish study, most of those being Pfizer doses, I think they just used the other buffer and not the one with trimethamine that causes all the damage to the heart and a lot of other areas of the body. So, what does it do? Well, some of these side effects will be familiar to people who have been following the effects that this stuff has had on people. Signs of allergic reaction like rash, hives, itching, red, swollen, blistered, or peeling skin, with or without fever, wheezing, tightness in the chest or throat, trouble breathing, swallowing, or talking, unusual hoarseness or swelling of the mouth, face, lips, tongue, or throat. Signs of low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, like dizziness, headache, feeling sleepy, feeling weak, shaking, a fast heartbeat, confusion, hunger, or sweating. Heartbeat does not feel normal. Trouble breathing, slow breathing, shallow breathing, shortness of breath, big weight gain, or swelling in the arms or legs. Also pulmonary edema, apparently, which is fluid in the lungs, fever. Now, here's what I wanted you to pay attention to. This drug may cause tissue damage if the drug leaks from the vein. How could you intramuscularly inject that? Tell your nurse if you have any redness, burning, pain, swelling, blisters, skin sores, or leaking fluid where the drug is going into your body. Now, the normal use of trimethamine in, for instance, this application, this is from Pfizer documentation, this ketrolac trimethamine is a combination of an NSAID, which is like a ibuprofen, aspirin, that kind of stuff, right? They cause this acidosis, and the trimethamine can balance out the pH. Now, with stuff like good old-fashioned baking soda, which is what they usually use to balance pH, and knock down the acidosis, the acid content in the stored blood or whatever it is they're trying to knock it down in, it tends to release too much carbon dioxide for some applications. And this stuff is only used in solution intravenously. It is not injected into people separately, ever. And look at all the contraindications. That is the no-go zone, according to medical jargon. Do not do this. Cardiovascular thrombotic events, renal risk, risk of bleeding, hypersensitivity, risk during labor and delivery, and use with other NSAIDs. Do you remember any signs in the clinics warning people about mixing medications, or any of the warnings that are in Pfizer's own literature? None. Nothing like that. And certainly no informed consent, right? This is going to floor you. Oh, before I get to that, trimethamine TAM discontinuation, June 20th, 2016. This is from Stanford Health Clinic Pharmacy. So in 2016, Pfizer tried to stop the distribution of this material. Why? Oh, I don't know, to kind of memory hole it, maybe. Also, so that they could get their proprietary use and muscle out Moderna, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, this is what's going to floor you. Precautions. Blood pH, bicarbonate, glucose, and electrolyte determinations should be performed before, during, and after the administration of TAM solution, again, intravenously. While it has not been shown that the drug increases coagulation time in humans, this possibility should be kept in mind since this has been noted experimentally in dogs. I'll show you some studies in a little while that will just blow your mind. Do not administer unless solution is clear and seal is intact. Pregnancy. Animal reproduction studies have not been conducted with trimethamine. It is also not known whether trimethamine can cause fetal harm when administered to a pregnant woman or can affect reproduction capacity. Trimethamine should be given should be given to a pregnant woman only if clearly needed, like her heart has stopped. Nursing mothers, they don't know if it's excreted in human milk. Spoiler alert, it's excreted in human milk. Carcinogenesis, mutagenesis, impairment of fertility. Studies with TAMP solution have not been performed to evaluate. This is a current document from Pfizer. Have not been performed to evaluate carcinogenic potential, mutagenic potential, or the effects on fertility. And they're injecting it intramuscularly into people. More adverse reaction side effects. Chemical phlebitis and venospasm. Let's look at veno and vasospasm first. What is a vasospasm? You see the heart and the brain on the right side there? Yeah, it's seizure of the heart or the brain, which is cardiac arrest or a stroke, right? But a vasospasm is a lengthy constricting, narrowing, or tightening in your artery. This reduces blood flow through the artery, sending less oxygen than normal to nearby tissues. Your arteries expand and contract their muscular walls regularly to help control the pressure of blood moving through them. Because vasospasms last longer than a normal constriction, they can damage the layers of your artery walls. It's like clenching your fists for too long. Vasospasm is more likely to happen in abnormal areas of blood vessels, endothelial dysfunction. So when they say paravascular infiltration, that is damage to the endothelial walls and their cells. That's the lining of the veins, the vessels, and the arteries. And that's where these spasms take place. And this stuff damages those cells, not just in the area of injection, but anywhere else. And they warn you again and again when using this stuff that if you're going to use it clinically in a solution that's put in intravenously, to find the largest artery you can, because of the effect it has at damaging those tissues, vascular tissues, including the heart. And there's your pulmonary edema. Additives maybe already covered that. So let's take one more look here. Okay, the clearance of this stuff from the body through the urine, through the kidneys, renal clearance, 75% is likely to take place within the first 8 hours if your kidneys are functioning properly. How many monkeypox recipients do you think are going to be having renal problems before they get the shots? And then you've got 3 days to clear it. I guess a week for most people with normal functioning kidneys. So it makes it, in a lot of ways, it makes it the perfect murder weapon, because it clears the body, unlike most steroids when people are cheating at the Olympics and stuff. It also, as a run-of-the-mill buffer, is not something people would pay a lot of attention to, do you think? And yet, look at all of those facts. Let's have a look at something else here. Because I wanted to drag this out, because they don't test it, haven't tested this stuff on humans. Well, they've started to in small studies, but only very recently, since the proliferation of this stuff in the intramuscular jabs during COVID. I think they've taken a license to, kind of try and ease their way into it. But it's a no-go zone, and these are bullshit studies, but the ones they're doing on animals aren't. And this is one I thought that you should... it would be a good example. There's quite a few of these. They're all on animals. None of them are on humans. Embryo fetal development toxicity. Trimethamine intravenously administered to pregnant rats. Potential reproductive toxicity on embryo fetal development. Tissue distribution were tested. And here was the results. The high dose group, the fetuses showed significant differences in the anomalies of the bones compared to the negative control group. Was mainly distributed in the placenta and the lung after the intravenous administration. to pregnant rats. The content in the liver was lower and increased sharply in the heart with increasing doses. Can you say boosters? The content in all tissues was lower than that in the plasma. Again, the lungs, the liver, and the heart. Animal studies, folks. That's as far as they've gotten with this shit. I've still got some stuff to cover, so I'm going to take a quick break to reacquaint myself with where the fuck I am at. I'll see you in a second. Sorry, the sun's not really cooperating with me today. So we have the perfect murder weapon. It's hidden in plain sight. It clears the body quickly, and the damage it does. I'm going to have to give you my hypothesis on this. People that are in the medical fields or are used to reading scientific literature, scientists, I'd just like to present this hypothesis. I'm sorry if people that aren't familiar with reading this stuff don't really follow it as closely, but I'm sure you'll get the gist of it. So the last two studies, one of them's recent, one of them is from 1996, that's the one I'm going to start with. Effect of TRIS buffer, that's trimethamine, on free cytosolic calcium in myocardial cells. And studying the effect of TRIS buffer on free cytosolic calcium in vitro, that's in a petri dish, because they didn't put this into humans, they still don't, except if you got a COVID shot or you're planning on getting a monkeypox shot, which obviously I don't recommend. Addition of pure trimethamine, TRIS, resulted in a significant increase of free cytosolic calcium in myocardial cells suspended in a buffer containing 1.25 mm of ionized calcium. Now you remember the TRIS, the trimethamine, tends to collect around the heart, right? When TRIS buffer mixture was investigated in 1.25 mm of calcium as well as 0.5 mm of external ionized calcium, a decrease of ionized calcium was noted initially, followed by an increase during the observational period. So now to the relatively current study from August 2021. Calcium signaling regulates autophagy and apoptosis. And those of you that have watched me before will know that apoptosis is the timed cell death of anything that has passed the best before date in the body. There is a signaling that takes place that destroys and removes those cells. The process is autophagy, but the specific destruction of the cells is apoptosis. And of course, this stuff has an affinity for the heart muscle, and the effects being myocardial, I think it's reasonable to assume some things here. Calcium has been shown to regulate opposing functions such as autophagy that promote cell survival. On the other hand, calcium also regulates programmed cell death processes such as apoptosis. How they can modulate opposing functions and modulate function in excitable and non-excitable cells is limited. And, of course, there's going to be copious, studies and articles and shit in the show notes, a lot more than usual, but anybody that, has some, you know, a scientific or a medical background, I'm pretty sure that this signaling screw-up is causing apoptosis, causing those myocardial lesions, piling the boosters on. Yeah, it's pretty ugly. At the end of July, the Bavarian Nordic, the maker of the three different brand names but same formulation of monkeypox vaccines, went from $127 to $275 today. It'd be really nice if somebody with a legal background would slam the door in their face, because the FDA approving this stuff to be injected into a human body, it's beyond egregious. And I'm quite sure it was the murder weapon during COVID. It will be the murder weapon if this monkeypox debacle continues, which I can't see how it can. You know, if anybody calls them on it, they're going to back away. But yeah, if you have the kind of experience to be required to shed more light on this, please have at her. I've really tested people's patience today, and I appreciate you staying with me. As usual, please take care of yourself. Cut yourself a break every now and then. And most importantly, have a nice day.